Last sermon that we just did, we talked about other folks, right? And the value of just even just one. And I want to say all that to say as well, you know, you never give up on anybody. I don't care what the storyline is, what the situation is, you just can't. Even if they reject you and want nothing to do with you, there's a story that I could easily tell. There's a gentleman down in Ashland, Kentucky, where my grandfather started a congregation down there. The gentleman just passed away of this past year, but he was one of the most faithful attended members of that congregation down there and was not a member. Came to every single service. Every time those doors opened, he was there, and it took him 30 years before he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the pure example that I can give, that you can never give up on anybody, despite how frustrating it is sometimes. And I know this stuff comes easy to a lot of us that have been living this life for so long, but it comes difficult to a lot of other folks. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody grows at different paces, and we just have to keep feeding in the Word of God as much as we possibly can. So then this sermon is more focused on us as an individual, or on you as an individual. And quite simply, it's entitled, The Man in the Mirror. This has nothing to do with the 1980s Michael Jackson song or anything like that, but and you know, there's a lot of principle within when we look at ourselves in the mirror, right? And there's a lot of things that we see, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But what the verse that's primarily kind of generating this idea from is James chapter 1, beginning with verse 23. And it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man, like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." I don't know if this guy in high school that I was really good friends with was just a very vain guy, but he would legitimately look at himself in the mirror, kind of fix his hair, or do whatever he needed to do, walk away, and 5 minutes later be right in front of the mirror. Walk away, and if there's another mirror, like in the car or something like that, you know, he could always look at himself, kind of straighten his hair up and things like that, and it drove me insane how many times he would do stuff like that. But at the same time, that's what this verse is talking about. Have any of us ever looked at ourselves in the mirror and then, you know, oh shoot, I forget what I look like, and going right back to a mirror to check things out and make sure our hair's in place, or ladies, your makeup looks good, not smeared and things like that. Have we ever found ourselves to a point where we're doing something like that? On top of that, have we ever spiritually looked at ourselves in a manner like that? Where maybe we looked at ourselves in the mirror one day, yeah, I'm in good shape, I'm in good standings, and you know, I go to church when I'm supposed to go to, I live the lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle when I'm supposed to, and too many times people look at this, at Christianity, as like a box check, right? Did I go to church? Did I pray before supper? Did I do this? Did I do that? And so on and so forth. This is a lifestyle. This isn't an obligation. This isn't a complete lifestyle. And that's why so many people are afraid of it, because it is a complete turn of events of life. It is a lifestyle. So when I physically look at myself, what did I do, Nick? I'm sorry. When I look at myself in the mirror, what do I physically see? Right? Ladies are probably going to look at this situation a little bit differently than guys do. I look at myself, I'm like, eh, I'm put together, I'm whatever. My wife will spend a couple extra minutes in the mirror making sure hair is done, makeup's done, and all that kind of stuff. But when I look at myself in the mirror, what do I see? Am I afraid of what I see? When I look at myself in the mirror, do I wish I saw something better? Or do I wish I saw something maybe even a little bit different? And then lastly, are there changes that I would make when I looked at myself in the mirror? Now, obviously, as a guy, when I look at myself in the mirror and think about the changes perspective, I'm thinking, yeah, around the midsection a little bit, I wish I could make some changes. Maybe I do need to make some changes from that regard. But there have been times in my spiritual walk with God, in my spiritual Christian life, where I've looked at myself in the mirror, and I'm not exactly too fond of what I see. I'm not exactly too proud of what I see. I think to myself, hey, my leadership at our Fairborn congregation is lacking, right? I'm not doing something right, or I need to be maybe doing something different. Maybe I'm not being the best example that I need to be. Maybe that sin that I've really been struggling with is starting to kind of rear its ugly head, and I'm starting to see that for myself now. Or maybe somebody pointed something out to me that they saw in my spiritual walk with God that I didn't see before, and then I go look at my spiritual mirror and think to myself, my goodness, they were right, and it's been there for a long time, right? And we think about that from time to time. Maybe somebody has said, you know, you've got some wrinkles around the eyes, or maybe you've got some blemishes on your face. And we go and maybe take a closer look to ourselves and think, oh my goodness, when did that start happening? Kind of a funny situation, but we were in Disneyland, the one in California, back in 2015, and we were standing in line to the new Cars ride, Disney Cars ride. My wife, I used to kind of spike my hair up a little bit. My wife looks at me and she says, "You've got a gray patch." And I said, "No, I don't. Stop it." She's like, "No, I'm dead serious. You got a gray patch right here." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." And so I took my iPhone out, looked at myself, and I said, "How long has that been there?" You know, and I'm only 31 years old at the time. So, you know, those things happen, unfortunately, to the best of us from time to time. But it happens to us from a spiritual nature as well. Right, where somebody maybe points something out, or maybe we realize that we're struggling with something. We look at ourselves in our spiritual mirrors, we think to ourselves, "My goodness, how long has that been there? How long have I been struggling with that?" And so when I see these blemishes, when I see these difficulties, when I see things that I know that I personally need to change, and I look at myself in the mirror, do I kind of shrug things off like I do as a guy now? Right? Well, my hair is not the greatest, but whatever. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go to dinner. I'm going to go to church or whatever the case is. Or do I do something about it? Right? Do I take that product out of my pocket and kind of mess things up a little bit, or do exactly what it is what I wanted to do to my hair or physical appearance? And likewise, from a spiritual nature perspective, am I willing and wanting to do something about it? And so what people often wish they could change, the weights and appearance and decisions made and or not made, sometimes we just simply don't do it for whatever reason. But again, from a spiritual nature perspective, we've got to be willing and wanting to make those changes. So when I look at myself in the mirror and I see something wrong, or I see something that I want to change, I got to realize a few things, right? Just like the old gray patch, I could think to myself, I could be one of those guys that starts coloring my hair and all that kind of stuff. But hey, you know, it is what it is. It runs in my family line. So I'm going to go gray eventually. And so I got to realize something also from a spiritual perspective. I got to realize first and foremost that God made me. Genesis chapter 1, beginning verse 26, he says here, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, after let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. No matter what I might see, no matter what difficult circumstance that I might have made, or difficult decisions that I made, or maybe I just look in the mirror and I'm just not proud of who I am as a child of God, or even as a Christian. Much like the prodigal son thought, right? I can't, God, you know, Father, I can never be back in your good graces. And we read about what the father did. Hey, you know, go kill the fatted calf and get some nice jewelry, get some nice stuff to put on my son because he was once lost and now he's returned. That's how God looks at us as well. And so when I see myself in this spiritual mirror, regardless of how I feel about myself, I got to understand first and foremost that God loves me, that God created me, that I am here for a purpose, that I am here for a reason. And I've talked about this in many of my sermons before. I don't know if it's been here or not before, but when I was in high school especially, man, did I struggle with that. I had all my friends, and oh, I'm going to go to this college and major in this, and I want to get this kind of a job and this kind of an education. Everybody and their brother, outside of Brock Begley, knew exactly what they were wanting to do with the rest of their life in high school. And it was a struggle for me. It was a big-time struggle for me. And that's why I had, when I went to Sinclair, I ended up doing like four or five different majors in like a year and a half, 2 years time span, and I got a lot of additional credits that I didn't end up needing or using, but you know, that's okay, and that's beside the point. And so I've got to understand that God created me for a purpose. My purpose when I was growing up was I was going to be a song leader. Roger does a fantastic job. Glennon as well. Both of those guys got some big accolades on Friday night at our singing. We really appreciate that so much. I was going to be a song leader. Growing up, I wanted nothing to do with the pulpit. I wanted nothing to do with public speaking. I just, hey, that's for my grandfathers. You know, that's for people that have done this before and that are good at doing those things. And now, it's a rarity if I get to lead song at Fairborn anymore because I'm always up here doing things. And truthfully, I've fallen in love with it. I've understood that sometimes my message through the Word of God can be can impact someone's life, right? I can present the message from the Word of God in a way that might be beneficial, that might be encouraging to someone else's life. And there's no greater feeling in this world to know that maybe you play a small, teensy part in helping somebody along their life in some way, shape, or form. And because of that, that's why I got lost in ministry. And I started it in high school and did more and more of it as I went along. Took public speaking classes in college and just really and truly fell in love with it. So what my purpose was, God said, no, there's a different purpose. There's a different reasoning that you're here, that you were created, that you are alive and doing what you are doing. So sometimes we struggle with that, but I've got to understand, as we all do, that God made me. In addition to that, God loves me. God cares about me. If He didn't, He would not have sent Jesus to die on Calvary Street for my sins. And so many of us get lost in this. And like I said, if you've been lost with your purpose, if you've been lost with your defined meaning in life, you're in good company. Because I think in some way, shape, or form, whether it be in the physical realm or even in the spiritual realm of life, we've all struggled with what is my purpose? What should I be doing that I haven't been doing? Or what have I been doing that maybe I should maybe back off and not be doing anymore? Or maybe let somebody else take charge of doing those different kind of things in life. And so in everything that we do, it's so important to give God the glory, to give God the praise, to give God the honor. Whether I'm going through good things, whether I'm going through hardships, remember, yea, and that all that will live godly, he tells young evangelist Timothy, shall suffer persecution. And if we do it for His name, the Bible says we should rejoice that we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. And so when you are going through those difficult circumstances of life, when you are going through those hardships, you got to understand, I'm going through those for God. I'm partaking of Christ's sufferings. And I'm being an encouragement to the folks that are around me. And I know Roger and I were talking in one of the breaks about some of the difficulty that he's going through. But look, it's not deferred him from being the presence that he's been here at this congregation, the song leading and stuff. I've gone through times in my life, especially younger in the ministry and younger in college, maybe a breakup with an ex-girlfriend or something like that. I didn't want to get up in church. I didn't want to tell people how they should be living their lives when here I am sulking in my own misery. I didn't want to be leading people in jubilant song when I'm just not feeling very joyous in my own heart. And so it's difficult and it's a challenge, and that's a huge example to all of you and all of us that are witnessing that. We have some of our members of Fairborn that just go through so many daily aches and pains. One of our sisters is in her late 40s, early 50s, and she'd kill me if I told you guys that, but she's got a sciatic nerve pain that has been greatly troubling her for the past, 4 or 5 months. And to see her and her husband that has a lot of hip and back issues and stuff like that, just to see them come to our building and walk in the building is a huge encouragement for all of us. And it should put some of us ashamed if we're like, boy, I got a little bellyache, or my head doesn't feel so good, or whatever, and we decide not to come. I'm not talking migraines and stomach flus and stuff like that, but the excuses that you hear sometimes when people decide they don't want to come to worship is mind-boggling. And no doubt, I'm not trying to be a judge and tell folks, suck it up, buttercup, take some ibuprofen and come anyway, but at the same time, you think to yourself, I've preached with 102 fever before. And I probably shouldn't have shown up to services that day, but I felt like I had to, right? I felt like this congregation needs me to present the gospel sermon, and I don't want to call anybody at the last minute and tell them they need to do something. So we are all here for a defined purpose. We are all here for a defined meaning. And don't let anything in your life defer you or knock you off of understanding that. Regardless of what you're going through, your sheer presence alone is so key and so important to making a congregation thrive. And so I got to also understand, God created me and is responsible for everything that I have going on in my life. Granted, I make my own choices and I make my own decisions. God has given me free will, but in my own instance, I have my family, I have my health, I've got some aches and pains myself, and I'm not going to complain about those. I've got some difficult stuff going on in life, but you know what? I'm blessed. And it's so easy to look at the turmoil in life, and so difficult to look at the blessings, and it should be the reciprocal effect of that, shouldn't it? We should come so natural and so easy to us to look at the blessings and think, you know what, the turmoil and the bad stuff, it is what it is. It comes and it goes. I don't know if any of you know the name Kenny Alexander, Charles Alexander. He's one of my favorite people in the church. He just turned 90 years old this past, 90 or 91 years old this past year. The guy has gone through prostate cancer. The guy has gone through two hip replacements. He's gone through one knee replacement. The list goes on and on and on. And every time you talk to him, he'll say, yeah, I've had cancer, but you know, the Lord blesses. Yeah, almost lost my life, but boy, am I fortunate to be here. I mean, just every negative thing that comes out of his mouth is quickly followed by, you know what though? It could always be worse. And how blessed I am. 90 some years old, still comes to almost every worship service, leads singing on top of that, and all the aches and pains and things that he's gone through, and he's still doing so great. So no matter what we might see, we must know and understand that God made us and found us worthy to give us what we have. And thanks be to God for those blessings. When I look at myself, I've got to ask myself this question, really. Am I ashamed of what I see? I hear people all the time say they'll look at themselves in the mirror, maybe without their shirt on or something, and see some excess weight going on in the midsections or some parts of their body, and they're ashamed of it. And so they'll do the research on dieting, exercising, and all that not so fun stuff that we don't need to talk about this morning. But, you know, they'll do all that research and want to kind of get themselves engulfed in those kind of things. And I think of myself spiritually. When I look at myself in the mirror, can I look at myself and say, I'm ready to go meet God? Can I have the same attitude that Paul had at the end of his life and the end of his journey? Hey, I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to go. I've done what I've needed to do. You know, if I died right now, I can be proud of what I have accomplished or what I've done for the cause of Jesus Christ and for the cause of God Almighty. Guys, we all have to answer that question within ourselves. Can we say, okay, I don't know if that's in your song books, oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? You answer that. You answer that. And there are countless things. Kyle and Nick and I, we've all talked about this. There are countless things that I go through in my mind that could maybe separate me from the kingdom of God that I think about all the time. I think to myself, the lesson that I just preached, can I stand before God knowing that was my last lesson and knowing that God might possibly say, why did you preach on that? You know, why didn't you preach on this or that? You know the congregation is struggling in this area. Why didn't you go this direction rather than going that direction? Why did you believe this? Why did you practice that? I tell you, the last lesson I gave here is probably one of my top five favorite ones, is how serious is God? We talked about Uzzah, right? Don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. Just don't touch it. He touched it, and what happened? He died. Hey, Lot's wife, don't look back. Just plain and simple, don't look back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. I mean, so many biblical examples that I think about that I try to make applicable to my own life and think to myself, hey, am I in good graces with God? Am I looking at my spiritual mirror and myself and thinking to myself, I'm proud, or at least I can, if I die today, I'll hopefully have that hope, that good shot to make it in the kingdom of heaven. Are you ashamed of what you see? Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I tell you what's shameful is when you try to bring up, there's controversial subjects in the Church of Christ. I think we all know that to be true, right? There are some congregations that do things one way, some congregations do things a different way, different practices, different belief systems and stuff like that. And it is what it is. What's shameful is when you try to meet with a brother, talk with a brother or sister in Christ about those issues, and you legitimately get the door slammed in your face about it. That is shameful. And I think about this verse, are we being ashamed of Christ and His words? And so shall the Son of Man be ashamed of us, or be ashamed of me? Has somebody ever approached me about a biblical subject, like, hey man, I gotta run, I can't talk to you right now, maybe we'll talk some other time, and then completely just left it in the dust? I've emailed and talked to gospel ministers about various subjects, and they either say, I'm not interested in talking, or they just don't even write you back. How terrible is that? And that's in the Lord's church. It's not even talking of denominationalism or anything of that nature. But we've got to have Paul's attitude when we look in our spiritual mirror, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he said. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Right? We have to be willing and able to say that. And we should want to say that. This is a lifestyle. Christianity is about lifestyle, is a lifestyle in and of itself. And so I should be able to back up the way I believe. I should be able to look at book, chapter, and verse. And I shouldn't be ashamed or try to hide behind a tree or a cement wall when it comes to those belief systems. Especially if it's concerning Jesus Christ. And as I said before in my other sermon, if somebody wants to knock Brock off my rocker and teaching something like baptism is essential for salvation, man, tell me, show me. I will give you the biggest hug. I give people hugs anyway, but I'll give you even a longer hug than what I normally do if you can teach me of my erring ways. I have no pride in this game. I have no pride of life. I want heaven. I desire heaven. I want it more than anything else in this world. And be able to take my family and those that I care about with me. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of what we see. And if we are, what changes are we willing to make? If you seek change, then start trying to change. And I know that's difficult to hear. And you know, any of us that want to try the dieting game and stuff like that from a physical perspective, hey, dieting's hard. Especially when everybody else around you eats all the nasty junk food and stuff, and here you are trying to eat the five salads a day and drink nothing but water and stuff. It's very difficult. But the Bible tells me in Acts 3:19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hey, make those changes. Repent you therefore and be converted. Make this applicable to your Christian life. Make this a lifestyle. Make this about striving to go to heaven. Don't make this all always just about you, 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 and your ways and your wants and pleasing your bellies. And from the aspect of change, let's look at some of these things that maybe sometimes we struggle with, but maybe on the surface they look like they could be struggling, but really and truly, they really are not. Accept the friendship of Jesus Christ. Lean on Jesus Christ for change. The Bible says in John 15, beginning in verse 9, He says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, He says in verse 13, Hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he looks at us and he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Lean upon the friendship and the love and the care and encouragement of Jesus Christ. You want to start anywhere with change, start there. Start there. And that's for all of us. That's for every single one of us. Maybe you're here this morning and not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized for the remission of sins, or I should say, go through the entire gospel plan of salvation, having faith in Him, repenting of your sins, be confessing Christ to be the Son of God, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, and then continuing to live on the Christian life. But I tell you, that's where true life starts. No matter how old you are, no matter where you're at in life, like I said earlier, no matter your past choices or past decisions, life, true life starts with Jesus Christ on your side. Love others as you want to be loved as well. John chapter 15, verse 17 through 18, he says here, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Hey, love each other, care about each other, encourage one another. And I hope I'm not offending anybody when I say this, but there's this stigma going around that even as Christians, we think we're higher than other folks. And one or two eggs ruins a whole dozen. But even those that practice and believe same-sex marriage and stuff like that, I hope none of us hate those people. We are to hate the ways, but love the sinner, right? Hate the sin, love the sinner. And I think that's important for all of us to make sure that we make our position known. But at the same time, show encouragement, show love towards those folks. Hey, I want to pray for you. Hey, I want to help you. I want to do anything that I can for you in any walk of life that you might find somebody else in. It's important for us to realize that. And then simply just allow God to lead. I'm not going to take the time to read. I'm already almost out of time. But Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. The Lord, and Psalms 119 verse 109, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Allow the Lord to lead you. Allow the gospel of Christ to lead you. Don't try to direct your own steps. Don't try to take matters into your own hands. And I appreciate what Kyle said in Bible study this morning as well. I'm not trying to look down upon commentaries, Josephus and stuff like that, and study notes and stuff. But if somebody has to tell me why they believe in what they believe in by pointing to a commentary or pointing to a Bible study book or something along those lines and not the gospel, that's a serious problem. Because you're telling me that the Bible is not key to my salvation. I got to have other stuff. You know? That's a serious problem. If it's not in the gospel, I shouldn't be doing it. If it's found in the gospel, then I should be doing it. And I shouldn't be trying to find ways that are alternatives of what the gospel tells me, right? And so I've got to also realize this. When I look at myself in the mirror and understand, and I've just got one more slide and the lesson will be yours. When I look at myself in the mirror and come to realization that I need to change or there's different things that I need to work on within myself, I got to realize a few things. First and foremost, I got to realize that everyone messes up. Every single person messes up. Romans 3:23, we quoted all day, couldn't we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us makes mistakes, and there is nothing more frustrating to me, because it's in the Lord's church today as well. You see some ministers, you see some elders, and even some deacons walking around like they've never made a mistake in their life. It's mind-boggling to me. And it's so frustrating to try to talk to some of those folks and try to just get perspective from some of these guys, because they act like they know everything. And all you got to do is ask them. They'll tell you. Every single person makes mistakes. When looking in our spiritual mirror, most people just find nothing but negative things about themselves. We have that mindset of the prodigal son. I made too many mistakes. I'll never overcome this. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do that. But every single person makes mistakes. And the overall message here is don't be afraid of mistakes. Don't try to not live the Christian life because you're afraid you're going to mess up royally. I guarantee you, when and if you do mess up, you're in wonderful company of a lot of folks that have made similar or maybe even the exact same mistakes that you're making or have been making. So don't be afraid of mistakes. If everybody was afraid of mistakes, nobody would live Christianity. Christianity would be completely dead right now. So don't be afraid of mistakes. One of my favorite quotes is, when you stand up to something, you're going to get knocked down. But when you're knocked down, you'll always get stepped on. Right? It goes without saying. When you stand up to something, you're always going to get knocked down, no matter what principle it is. I could say, Cincinnati Reds, the greatest baseball franchise ever. Especially in 2018, a lot of people are going to knock me down for that, because they are absolutely horrendously terrible right now. So, right? So, no matter what issue it is, you're going to get knocked down when you stand up for something. And then one of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. So when I do make mistakes, I got to understand that, you know what, I can overcome these. I'm never going to stand up, I'm never going to be confronted with something that I can't handle, that I can't overcome, that people can't help me with, that people can't encourage me with. Philippians 4:13 and 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're troubled on every side. We're not perplexed. You know, we think that we, no matter what direction we turn, is nothing but bad. But at the end of the day, we can and will overcome those things. So we got to realize these things. And my last slide is this final kind of poem that I've found. It says, "Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessing on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, for as I can see, guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me." Sometimes we might see one thing, and this happens to my wife all the time, where she'll say, "Do you think this?" She says, "I think I was terrible in this. What do you think I look like?" And I'm not trying to do the husband, good brownie points thing, but legitimately, I think you look stunning. I think you look fantastic. You know, so sometimes we might see ourselves in the mirror looking one way. But we got to look through the eyes of God sometimes and see what God sees within all of our lives as well. I hope this lesson has been encouraging to you all. And again, I know I've kind of raced through a lot of these things. And more oftentimes than not, would like to spend a little bit more time on some of these principles and some of these verses and subjects. But We just got to understand that sometimes the way we view ourselves isn't always the way it seems. But at the same time, we have to be looking at ourselves in our spiritual mirrors. And we've got to see, we've got to, you know, find the areas of life that we struggle in and try our best to make those turn into strengths. I say this all the time in my prayers. God, help me turn my weaknesses into strengths and my strengths to become even stronger. Don't ever be complacent. Don't ever sit around saying, I'm good enough in these areas alone. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a complete lifestyle. It should be something we all desire. It should be something we all want, genuinely. When we wake up at 7:30, 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings, it's not a, oh, goodness gracious, I got to go to church. It's a, look at the opportunity that I get. Throughout the whole week, I've had opportunities to invite people to do Bible studies and stuff like that. Take advantage of those opportunities. God has given them to you. None of us are promised another day, another moment on the face of this earth. So take advantage of all the God-given opportunities that's been given to us and work at them. Christianity is a work in progress. And none of us will ever be perfect. None of us will ever graduate. But what we can be rest assured is that God has our back and that Jesus Christ loves us and cares about us. God made us in His own image. We're all here for a purpose. We're all here for a reason. If we can help you and assist you in any way, please let us know. Walk together. We stand and sing praises to God at this time. Thank you.